Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and a great show to open up 2017. First and foremost, we're on for one solid hour. That's right, one solid hour. Gone are the days of 30 minutes. Gone are the days. So, wow, there is a ton to go over in sports already, and the year is just starting. But I got to talk about our guest, first of all. I think we landed a big fish. I really do. Coach Jalon Parrish, Wise High School, Maryland State champions, 4A, back-to-back, winners of 28 straight games. Now, having done Coach Parrish's job, which is being a coach and head football coach in Prince George's County, it's hard enough to win one game. It's a tough, tough job, hardest thing I've ever done. This guy makes it look easy. He makes it look easy, so we are excited to have him. I tell you, here locally, there's a ton going on. So when I think about, you know, what do we do today for our PATs, our pay attention topics, because there's a lot going on. First of all, how about our Wizards? And before I jump on the Wizards real quick, I still cannot get into the NBA. Now, later on in the show, we're going to have super referee Craig Muckle come in and join us to talk about some NCAA hoops. But I just can't. I watched the Knicks and Bucks last night. And it's just a sport that, first of all, any sport where if you hit the guy on the wrist, they blow the whistle, I can't get with that. Or if you yell at the referee, then there's a technical foul and you get to shoot for 1 point. Like, I can't get into sports like that. But this game, it was just so boring. So I flipped over to the Wizards, who won 9 straight games in a row. So, you know, that'd be a great pay attention topic, but I decided not to do that one. So then I said, well, you know what? How about Little Howard University, that little 1AA that could right here in D.C.? You know, they parted ways with their old coach. Well, quietly, I guess over the holidays, you know how these things work, Mike London, formerly the University of Richmond, formerly the University of Virginia, and just most recently, he's an assistant at the University of Maryland, is taking the helm at Howard University. So congratulations to Coach London. Going to try and get him in and on the show. That's a quality guy that they got over at Howard. I think he's going to get things turned around over there. That would make for very interesting PAT. Didn't pick that one either. Joe Barry, defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins, is out. Joe got terminated. Pink flipped, fired, gone. And as I say all the time, and I quote it in my book, if you coach long enough, you're going to get fired. So Joe Barry's out. It looks like Gus Bradley's going to take his place. And it's just amazing to me how coaching works. So Joe Barry's the D coordinator at the Redskins. He used to be the linebackers coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know who the quarterback's coach was? Jay Gruden. Know who the head coach was? John Gruden. So you can see how it all kind of connects the dots. So now Joe Barry out, Gus Bradley, who was the head coach with the Seattle Seahawks, Gus Bradley out, got fired from that job. But Gus Bradley took Joe Barry's place in Tampa when Joe Barry left to go coach the Detroit Lions, who were 0-16 when Joe Barry was their defensive coordinator. You see how it kind of plays musical chairs? So it makes it hard on guys like me and Coach DeLon Paris to move up when that kind of, I don't know, I don't want to use the word nepotism, but that's kind of really what it is. Good old boy network. That's what it is. So I'm going to do a whole show just on that in 2017. So anyway, did not pick Joe Barry's departure either as the pay attention topic. Did not pick that one either. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive right in to our pay attention topic. And it is, by the way, Grayson Allen. How many of you know and have been following the story of Grayson Allen? So Grayson is a, in my opinion, very talented basketball player who has also brought with his talent some entitlement to the table. So Grayson has an awkward, let's just say he plays really hard and really physical. I get that. But he's kicked three of his opponents. I mean, kicked with his foot. Like, it looks like he's falling down, but he's not falling down. He's kicking the opponent. So after the third one, I guess Coach Krzyzewski finally said, you know what, enough's enough. We're going to put him on suspension indefinitely. Well, after one game, one loss, by the way, Grayson was brought back on the team. After one game. Now, he's a captain of this team, Duke basketball. So let me just start by saying this. I totally disagree with this move, and here's why. It's a one-game suspension for someone who's tripping opponents, kicking opponents, elbowing opponents, not once, not twice, like maybe, okay, he did it in the first game, maybe it was a rivalry game, maybe the second game time it was an accident, but the third time, come on, man, come on. This guy is not playing to the letter of the rules. He's not. Remember, this is a game where if you hit someone on the wrist, they blow the whistle, and you get to punish them by making more points. So this is a non-contact sport, and Grayson Allen's making it a contact sport. So now, but watch the coaching move on this one. Watch this, because I've been watching this one really closely. Smart, savvy move by Coach Krzyzewski. So Coach Krzyzewski needs back surgery, and then we wish him all the best and wish him well. This is his second back surgery, and those got to be the toughest. So to clear the way for his assistant coach, Jeff Capel, to take the team over so that Jeff Capel now doesn't have to deal with the circus, and it would be a media circus. Duke starts going on some sort of losing streak or they're starting to struggle a little bit, and now he's going to be asked, hey, when you bring Grayson back? When you bring Grayson back? So Duke got beat by Virginia Tech. So they got beat. That was the game where Grayson was suspended. So what Coach K does is he strips Grayson of being a captain. You notice the Redskins didn't do that with Trent Williams, who was on four-game suspension for substance abuse. Again, kept him as a captain. That's the difference between paying a player and not paying a player. But anyway, I digress. So Coach K strips Grayson from being a captain. But it's only one game. After that loss, all of a sudden, by the way, here comes Grayson back to save the day, and Duke blows Georgia Tech out by 53 points. And then Coach Krzyzewski heads on off to wherever he's getting his back surgery, I guess Duke University Hospital, I don't know. And now all is well in the world. Well, let me tell you something. This sends the absolute wrong message big time. And this is what makes it, again, tough on the high school coach. It really does, because high school kids see this. And they're going, well, if the guy at Duke, who's a captain, can kick not one opponent, not two opponents, but three opponents. He can trip them up. And what if these kids get injured? I know if I'm a parent and I'm sitting in the stands and my little Keith is going up for a layup and Grayson Allen trips him, and now he, you know, falls, breaks his jaw, can't play the rest of the season. They take his scholarship and just snowballs. Oh, I'm upset. So this sort of behavior can't be condoned. And to watch Coach Krzyzewski do that, and I would bet you an amount of money, we should ask, I'll ask Coach Parrish when he comes on. I'd bet you a dollar a high school coach would have stiffer discipline on that student athlete than that Division I entitled blue blood college athlete. I bet you any amount of money. It really makes it tough. It makes it tough because I know at the high school level and then all the way down to the youth level where we're trying to teach discipline and, you know, respecting the game, respecting the opponent, respecting the officials. You know, I look at the NFL some weeks. These guys are screaming at the line judge. Don't be a line judge in the NFL. A line judge is a guy that runs up and down the sideline, so he has to hear it from the coach the whole game. If you watch a pro coach, they are screaming, red in the face, hooping and hollering. Well, guess what? College coach does the same thing. Guess what? Me and DeLon Parrish do the same thing. Guess what? These youth coaches are going ballistic on the sideline. See? So we really got to be careful with that stuff. So I think Coach Krzyzewski blew it here as far as sending a message to the student athlete. Now, that is not his job, right? His job is to win basketball games, win ACC championships, win NCAA basketball championships. That's his job. Well, guess what? They came right back, beat Georgia Tech by 35, and there, watch they get that thing rolling now. Just in time for him to get back, and he's Coach Krzyzewski's out indefinitely. Don't know when he'll be back from his back surgery. They're in great hands, great capable hands with Coach Capel. However, wouldn't it be a great story? Everything looks bad. They lost to Virginia Tech. Their star player is out. He's discipline issues. The coach has a broken back. Then next thing you know, a couple weeks later, they're cutting down the net and winning the ACC. They're getting a number one seed in the tournament. And boom, they're national champions again. He has done his job. So really smart, savvy move by Coach Krzyzewski. I don't particularly agree with it. I'm all about winning, but I'm all about winning in life first, not winning on the court or the field. So you know, hey, keep following that one. It's going to be interesting. As I said earlier and before we go to break, I just want to chat about our guest one more time. First of all, let me proudly announce I'm 1-0 against Coach Parrish. I told him I wouldn't say it, but I had to tell him something to get on the show, right? So, but, you know, actually he almost beat me. He had a team that was in their first year. So he basically rolled out a junior varsity team and nearly beat us. I mean, we had to hang on for dear life to win that game. But I'm going to tell you what. Now, you want to talk about winning in life. I've watched him up close and from afar. Coach Parrish is really getting it done. He's getting kids in school. You know, we chatted last night, and he was on the phone, working the phones, trying to get one of his players a scholarship. And this is what college, I mean, what high school coaches do so much of. So to win back-to-back state championships, 28-0, 28 straight wins. I can tell you right now, you know, I know, you know, Mike London's got a great resume and this and that. But, man, give one of these high school guys a shot. Yeah, give one of these guys a shot. This guy could do it at the next level, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, hey, we're going to cruise over, listen to a little Chuck music here for a little bit. Chuck Brown and get us going. I heard some Chuck on New Year's Eve, and the place went wild. It was unbelievable. I was in a little place in D.C., and they hit the music, and the place went wild. So let's do that same thing in honor and memory of the great, late Chuck Brown. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Thank you.
just want enough to play the game. We need money.
We need some money. We absolutely do. And now that we're going to a whole hour, we're going to be looking for sponsorships all up and down the Beltway because, hey, the show's growing, and that's a great thing. And I can see we've got people from all over, and this is exciting. So we're looking forward to that. Hey, so here's the thing. Wise High School has won back-to-back 4A state championships, which it's hard enough to win the league in Prince George's County. But, man, to win the whole state is a pretty impressive feat. And the guy that led that is with us on air today. Coach Parrish, are you there?
I'm here.
There he is. Humble pie. That's what's winning this thing. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, you should be. Because you're getting it done. Now you know you're as good as your last game. So right now you're high. But man, I can tell you, you could go in the August and that could all turn. Coach, tell us about, you know, you and I first shook hands on the field in 07, I believe it was, and you were just basically rolling out a JV team, and you put me through a daggone dogfight, which is why I was like, I got to get out of this league because this guy's going to be great. How did this machine, and that's what I'm going to call it, go from just, you know, a decade ago being like really like a JV to now like, you know, a machine? How did that happen?
I really think when I look back on it, it was a team effort, you know, administration, the parents, the young men that, you know, played over the time for us, everybody going all in. You know, a lot of people talk about you have to have support throughout your building and administration. Well, our support comes all throughout the building. It's like we have about 300 teachers, 300 parents in that building, trying to guide the young men to do the right thing. And it's been real, real easy at that point. You know, when we first started, like you said, it was no seniors in the building. We had to play parts, and that was difficult. But as time grew, you know, the administration, our athletic directors, the parents, you know, they saw what I was trying to do with the program. And they all, I guess, came all in, as we say. And from there, it grew.
So you kind of took the it takes a village approach to winning, but coach, I got to tell you now. I mean, I heard what you said, and I believe you because you're a man of your word. But I know a lot of Prince George's coaches, and I know the athletic supervisor Earl Hawkins. He was my gym teacher. I've met with Kevin Maxwell over a dozen times. So, and I've done your job. Now, coach, I know that the word underfunded always comes up. The phrase lack of support always comes up. Ineligible players, poor attendance, blah, blah, blah. Give us the real picture here. I mean, I hear you. And I know you're saying it right because you're winning. So the proof's in that. But there are 21 other guys saying that that's not the way it is. So what are you doing? What's the secret sauce that gets these parents and administration fully behind you and these players?
Well, Keith, you know, from coaching, it's the reality, Prince George's County is complex. Unfortunately, it's a disparity in economics.
Coach, let me get you to speak up a little bit. Our listeners can't hear. Let me get you to speak up a little bit, please.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yep, there you go.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's a disparity throughout our county. You know, Prince George's County is very complex, you know, economically, all throughout, ethnicities, all throughout. And unlike some other counties, in Prince George's County, we have some schools that may have a booster club, some schools do not. You know, you'll have some older schools that may have an established weight room, some schools that do not. You know, it's running down. You know, so when people talk about crowds and participation and all those different things, it's true at some schools. And, you know, also, I don't think people ever take into account that in Prince George's County, now DMV area, this probably is one of the largest areas with private schools, Catholic schools all throughout our county. So with so many options, you know, and it's very hard for a community to buy in to one particular thing. You know, over the history of Prince George's County, you know, I know when I first came here, you might have a brother that played for you and the other brother go to a Roosevelt, go to a Tech Magnet school, or the sister in the same household go to a private school. You know, so when you're talking about community and a sense of community school, that's really not existing in your own household if you have three kids and they all three go to different schools. You know, that's kind of the norm. You know, I've been fortunate at Wise High School where we had Upper Marlboro is more affluent community. A lot of our kids stay home. I've been fortunate to coach 16 sets of brothers in the 11 years that I've been there. So it's just about where you at, unfortunately, and how is the community? What's going on? In the end, we're in the DMV. There's a lot of choices. People want to see a winner. And unfortunately, if you're not winning, then it's going to be even tougher to get those people out there and support what you're trying to do. It was tough in the beginning for us, but as things grew, it's gotten better.
It's funny you mention that because, you know, you and I fell victims to that in our first season. So I had a back who ran for 1,000 yards for me. Boundary changed. August 15 shows up. He's in your huddle. And I'm like, what in the world? But that was the way it was. I mean, I was in an old – he shouldn't have been going to my school. You see what I'm saying? I'm way over in Temple Hills, you know, and he's way over in your boundary. So that is alive and real. And if you look at the development, you know, in the county, those boundaries change almost annually. So you've done a great job. Let me shift gears for you a little bit, because if you've got these teams, you know, depth is important. I mean, I look at some of the teams, and my best team had 27 players. I look at some of these teams, not everybody has 80 players. So, you know, depth is very important, and so is safety, player safety. So I just want to, there's a lot of chatter about concussion, and there's a big movie, and this, that. I'm boycotting the movie. I've never seen it. What's your stance on concussion? Because it's here and it's happening. What's your stance on that? Are you old school like I am, which is just, hey, he'll be all right. I know what he's fine. Or are you new school, like get this guy a $300 helmet and let him run around? Which, are you somewhere in the middle?
But that's kind of a two-part question for me. Society's changing, Chief. I'm kind of old school. You know, I grew up where it was a joy to get your bell rung, as they say. It was almost like you was being baptized in the football.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody was all in. Oh, what happened? You seeing stars? Yeah, I finally seen my first stars. So, you know, I come from that era like yourself. You know, but society's changing, and with technology, we're learning. Maybe that wasn't a good thing, seeing stars such as that and getting headaches. You know, I remember when I was in Little League, I remember having a migraine headache, and my father took me to McDonald's, like, good job. You know?
Right. There we go.
After the game, you know, I learned, that's what's supposed to happen, you know. He didn't know any better. You know, now we know with technology that, you might have had a concussion, you know, and we have safety measures in place these days. And you have to adhere to those things. Sometimes it's tough because you're in a spot where you're saying, that wasn't serious, you know. But you don't know that young man's body. And now you have to err on the side of caution. You know, sometimes I don't agree with it because I feel like, you know, you can't, as my parents once told me, you can't take your own influences and what happened to you and say that's what's supposed to happen. You know, but sometimes you look at yourself and say, I got hit harder than that. And I'm okay, you know. I'm not experiencing these things, but that's not the way it is today. So you have to adhere to the protocols, and, you know, we just go on and move on from there.
Yeah, you know, I took that concussion test that we all have to take online. I learned an awful lot after taking that. You know, I did change my tune a little bit around concussions. I think I still hit a guy in the head, though, during the season. But it was an accident. But he wasn't running fast enough for me. I think I might have hit him in the head. So you've won these state championships. You You're 28-0. I think I know the answer, but I got to ask it. And, oh, by the way, looks like there's some Prince George's, some of your opponents listening in this morning. So what's next for Wise Football? I mean, I'm going to assume the answer is to win the next 12 games and three-peat, but I'll let you say that. What's next for Wise Football?
Win again. Winning never gets old in my book. I'm a competitor. You know, sometimes my parents say too competitive. You know, here I am, an older man now, and I can play Monopoly and I want to win. You know, I want
right.
anything. You play cards. So you teach the kids to be competitive. Some people say, well, like you said, you won two, you won three, actually. What more can you do? You can win it again. That's what you can do. Each year, you're striving to be the best man you can be in life. Each year, you're trying to be the best team you can be. I'm not settling for less. I don't expect anybody to settle for less. Everybody should be gunning for whoever's at the top, make it more competitive. And when you're at top, we want to stay there as long as possible, and we plan on being there.
Well, that's good to know. And you talked about the top, and I got to ask you this question because I know it's on everyone's mind. There's a high school up in Hyattsville who has a longstanding tradition of winning and being on top, and they also play in the private school league. I am 0-2 against this opponent, DeMatha High School. So,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, you want to talk about the clash of the Titans. This would be, you know, your Mayweather versus Pacquiao. This would be the big thing right here. Will we ever see the Wise and DeMatha Clash of the Titans battle on the gridiron? Will we ever see that?
I'm going to be honest with you, Keith. I really don't think so. And it's two, I would say, major things in my mindset that why it'll never happen. First, we respect DeMatha and what they do and what they're able to accomplish. There's nothing compared our state, what they have been done for our state within their league and outside of the league in the country. They're in that league, the WCAC, and we're over here in the Maryland State Athletic Association. It's two separate rules that's going on. You know, those guys start football August 1st. We don't start till August 10th. Those guys are allowed to put their equipment on before the season starts. We're not. It's two separate rules playing field. It would be like if you told Michigan, Ohio State again, or should I say Michigan, Alabama, you guys going to play. But Alabama, you know what? You get to practice 10 days before them. When you play your first game, it's going to be a second or third game. And you're going to have equipment on. You can have equipment on a month or two before them. It's two separate playing fields. You know, I think advantageously you can go around that if the two teams probably played week 9 or 10. But I believe by that time they're in their league schedule and we're in our league schedule. So I doubt that that'll ever happen.
Well, I mean, you're about 20 miles apart. I mean, I think it would happen in basketball. I mean, so you couldn't maybe week one get that thing. Week one, Labor Day weekend, maybe on a Thursday night before Labor Day. All I mean, it would be packed. I don't know where you'd have to play that thing at Maryland. I mean, that would be – there'd probably be pro scouts at that game. Like, what – I mean – we got to make that. I'm going to have Coach Brooks on the show. I'm gonna get him to say something out of the way about Wise Football to get you to say, I'm going to drive the bus up there and play.
Go right ahead. I think our week one is week two, though, Keith.
What's that?
I say, as a former coach, you understand. Our week one would be a week two. Teams make their biggest jump.
Believe me,
week
I
one
understand.
Week
believe me.
You know.
And there's a whole bunch of other. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other, like I just mentioned, where would the game be played? Well, they don't really have a home field. So already, you know, and they're going to feel a certain way about where it's played. You're going to feel like it's just going to be, you know. But I can tell you what, for the fan, for the football fan, that is heaven right there. Wise versus
like
the math
myself.
Would be. Yo, I know you. All right, how about this? How about 7-on-7? How about that? How about can we get a
we played
can y'all
each other
show up at the same What's that?
We played each other numerous times at 707.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll start there. Make sure I'm at that one because that'd be the closest I've seen. Speaking of the WCAC for a moment, I see McNamara's got a little opening over there. That was interesting to see that. So looking to see how that one plays out. Coach, I got one last one, which was, where did you stand on this whole Grayson Allen thing? The Duke basketball player I was talking about in our pay attention topic segment. And where'd you fall on that one?
He
got a one-game suspension. He kicked the opponent three times, and he got a one-game suspension. Come on.
There you go. I disagree with it. I disagree with it. You know, I like to take hard stances on things of the nature. That wasn't his first time, nor his second time. You know, to me, he's not representing the university and what Duke stands for. You know, you talk about, as they say, rehabilitation. He had three times. Obviously, he didn't adhere to what they was trying to, the tenements of their program, what they was trying to get to him. At this time, he needs to be removed. That's how I feel. But I'm not coaching Duke, you know, and so that puts Duke program in a situation. But I can say this. One year, we went to the state title game. On our way in week six, unfortunately, we had a multiple rules violation by one of our starting linebackers, and he had to be removed from the team. You know, we were still able to go to the state title game. I'm sure Duke has a plethora of talent. Coach Cecchi is an awesome coach. You know, I think when we made that stand, you know, everybody knew no one's exempt. The same rules from the top goes down to the same rules to the bottom, from the top player to the bottom player. It was beneficial for us. I'm not so sure.
Well,
that
that's a program move.
Coach
Cecchi right
wants to
that's
listen.
That's a program move.
And unfortunately, it paid off for us. We didn't win it that year, but we got there. So.
Well, you won two straight. So I think you're doing all right. I think you're doing all right. Coach DeLon Parrish, hey, man, thanks so much for taking it. I got you on short notice, and I appreciate your flexibility. I definitely want to have you back, and I'd love to have some of your kids come on. If you got a rising senior who's looking to go to the University of Pittsburgh, hey, let's get him on the show. Let's market him as best we can. And best of luck down the road to you.
Thank you so much, Keith, for having me. I really enjoyed my time. And I'm sure we can make that happen one day.
Absolutely. And, Coach, I'm going to be reaching out to you. If you have a banquet, I want to get out to your banquet. So I'll reach you this week.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Very good. Bye-bye. Coach DeLon Parrish, state back-to-back state champion, 4A football, Prince George's County. Awesome guy, awesome coach, awesome program he's got running over there. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then shift gears a little bit and go over to the game that I'm not so crazy about, which is the game where if you hit the guy on the wrist, then this guy with a striped shirt blows a whistle and says, hey, that's wrong. So we're gonna bring in Super Ref Greg Muckle to talk a little hoops on the Extra Points Radio Show. Let's get a little more chop. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. do need money. And I can tell you what, the guy that's coming on air now doesn't need any money because he won't take it. I mean, believe me, if a coach tries to give it to him, he's still going to call a charge. He's still going to call a technical. Super ref Craig Muckle, welcome to the show, my man. Craig, are you there?
I am. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Happy New Year to you. Craig, man, I wanted to just kind of touch on two topics with you. One, of course, just kind of a top 10 roundup here on this NCAA stuff. As I know, you guys have a big party in March. Everybody knows about it. Leads into April. So we want to definitely do a little roundup on that. And then after we're done with that, I know you lead a committee over at the Prince George's Chamber. I want to give you some time to talk about that. But first, Craig,
great.
So Villanova's at the top of the heap. Are you all right with that? Are they the best team in the country in college basketball?
Hey, you know, they do look really good. You know, I thought last year if they were going to have trip up, I thought last year was going to be it. But I think, you know, certainly Jay getting them over the top with the help of a local guy, you know, Chris Jenkins, then, you know, this year they've just really built on that momentum and really have looked good. I mean, you know, Butler beat them the other night, but it was not easy. I mean, I think Butler played a really good game, but, you know, in this day and age, it's tough for any team in college basketball to go undefeated over the course of a regular season anyway. So I don't really think that takes a lot of bloom off their rose. I look for Villanova to be back again, certainly in the Elite Eight, if not the Final Four, because they got all the talent and great coach. And I think, like I said, they got a lot of confidence from last year.
Yeah, you can tell. I watched them the other night. They just look really, really athletic. When I look at the miracle team that beat the Hoyas in the 80s, this team is light years ahead of that thing. So, you know, it's funny, Craig, as I look through the top five even, you know, what I saw with you see your regular blue blood cast of characters, Nova, you know, Kansas and UCLA and Kentucky and those. But, you know, just like on Sesame Street, they used to say, one of these things just doesn't belong here. Well, Baylor men's basketball, Baylor and Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga, okay, I'll give them, like, yeah, they can win the whatever they're in, West Coast Conference or whatever. But top five and Baylor? Like, what's going on with – they don't belong there, right?
Yeah, so before, you know, I will get to them, but I do want to say, you know, UCLA has been down a lot of years since, you know, when we were probably kids, to be honest with you, or at least me. But, you know, Steve Alford has really done a good job, and they got, you know, Lonzo Ball. So I've seen UCLA, and listen, any team that can go to Kentucky and win, you know, gets my attention. They played a really good game against Kentucky. So I did want to put that out there. I really have never been a big UCLA fan until, you know, more recent years, and they do look good. I have to give Steve Alford a lot of credit. But getting back to the primary premise of your question about Baylor and Gonzaga, you know, I'll start with Gonzaga first. And, you know, they're really the preeminent mid-major that everybody – if you're a mid-major, you want to be – you know, model your efforts after Gonzaga, and being a graduate of a mid-major, the University of Dayton Flyers, I would add.
Go Flyers.
You know, thank you very much. And we had a nice win against Rhode Island last night. I just want to throw that in. Who's in the top 25. But, you know, Gonzaga, I think Mark Few's done a great job over a lot of years. And, you know, you can poo-poo the conference all you want, but they do play a quality schedule, which – I think demonstrates they're definitely big time, prime time. This could be the year they actually really press into that Final Four mix. That's really been the one thing that they have not been able to do, get to the Elite Eight, get to the Final Four. This really could be the year that they do that. So I would not dismiss them out of hand at all. Baylor, you know, they've been really good for the last two or three years now. They did play a really competitive preseason pre-conference schedule. I do think they'll go far in the tournament. They have a lot of athleticism. They're really long. I mean, I love teams that can defend, have shot blockers, you know, and hit the glass. They fit that bill. It's really a matter of when they get to the tournament, can they score enough points? And also, you know, do they have the experience to actually get there? I think, you know, experience means a great deal in the tournament. And, you know, sometimes it's a process. I think we've seen, whether it's in college or pro sports, that you're not always going to get by with talent. I mean, you have to kind of learn how to win. And this may be the year that Baylor has figured it out. We'll have to wait and see. But they've looked good thus far.
They look good thus far. I got to tell you, when I hear Baylor basketball, I think Brittany Griner, but I can't think, who am I? when I look at the second half of the top 10, you know, again, pretty much the usual suspects, but then I see a Creighton team. Do they belong there? Like, I watched them against Georgetown, which ain't saying much. They beat Georgetown. That's not saying a whole lot. But what, Creighton?
They look, hey, I've seen them, you know, and, you know, Doug McDermott, the coach who's, you know, and a couple years ago when his son played for them, you know, he's now in the NBA with the Bulls. I mean, they had a really good team. I think they seem to have a few more pieces this year. And, you know, once again, they played a pretty competitive pre-conference schedule. They played Villanova, I think, pretty close. And they're going to play again. You know, the Big East is actually has a really good league this year. I mean, let's not forget about Xavier as well, who's another kind of big time, gotten to be a big time mid major. And I frankly hate to say that because they're only 50 miles south of Dayton, and they've been kind of a geographic rival. And one of my officiating buddies is a graduate of the X, and he is quick to remind me constantly. Of that. If he wasn't a referee, I'd actually probably hate him for that. But but in any event, you know, Creighton, Villanova, we've already talked about, you know, Butler, they're really good teams. You know, the Big East could be highly competitive, and I think a lot of these teams have a chance to go pretty deep into the tournament with the right draw. So I would, you know, I like Creighton, and, you know, I think they probably more than the other teams live and die by the three. You know, that's kind of a troublesome mix, but, you know, if they're hitting them, they're as tough as anybody.
Now, when you're not refereeing, and clearly you're all over this whole, hey, he hit the guy on the wrist, I'm going to blow my whistle. You're all over that. And thank goodness for you, because I just can't get into – the Wizards won 9 straight at home, I could care less. But, and I better start caring because, you know – it's wild card weekend, so football's gonna wind down. I know you have who you have in the Steeler Dolphin game, so I won't even ask. But when you're not refereeing, you got something else going on. And since we're a business and sports show, tell our listening audience about your She Committee. This thing has been—I remember when it was born, and now it's one of the top committees in the Chamber of Commerce. Tell everybody about the She Committee.
Sure. So, you know, for those that don't know, the SHE Committee is the acronym for the Sports, Hospitality, and Entertainment Committee with the Prince George's Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, I don't like to always pat myself on the back, but it was you know, my brainchild, frankly, when I became the chair of the chamber back in 2008. I had the great privilege to do that. And my goal was really to find a mechanism or to build a committee around those industries that the chamber had really not done a good job of either, you know, securing as members or reaching out to. And here in Prince George's County, you know, we have probably more sports hospitality amenities than anywhere else in the DMV between all the stadiums and arenas. You know, and if people really take a moment to think about it, you know, we have a top flight facility in the University of Maryland, both with the Bird Stadium and the Xfinity Center. We have, you know, the Showplace Arena, Bowie Stadium, you know, obviously FedEx Field. So, you know, those are – and now we have National Harbor. So we have a lot of amenities here, and it's really about, you know, what the committee now is trying to do is taking advantage of those amenities that we have and drawing attention to them, and even drawing attention to them for people not only – you know, in the greater Washington community, but here in Prince George's County, because we want people to know what we have here, and there's so many things that they can do in Prince George's County that they don't have to leave to go to D.C. or Montgomery County or Northern Virginia to do. They can do those things right here and, you know, not battle the traffic and, frankly, keep those dollars here. So I'm really happy that we, you know, have built a lot of enthusiasm for it, and I'm blessed to have, you know, great committee members who support the vision, and I hope in turn that, you know, we're supporting their work as well.
I know you got you meet monthly, and I know you like to move the meetings around, which I think is a great idea. You got a meeting coming up. Tell us about tell us what you got coming up. From what I hear, you really snagged a big fish. Now I don't know. It's
yeah,
just rumor on the street at this time, but. Tell me about talk about not wanting to
yeah,
take
you
your
know,
own arm. Tell us about your next meeting.
yeah. Well, our next meeting will be January 20th, and we'll be hosting at the Training Source here in Seat Pleasant, Maryland. Kim Rim is the owner of that, and Kim is a great small business owner. She does great work with her nonprofit. We have a little known football coach who actually has a radio show of some sort. I think I'm actually talking to the guy right now. And,
what a great idea.
Yeah, really, you know, funny how that works. But, Keith is going to be our guest. Coach Howard is going to be our guest in a couple of weeks. And he has a book that he's put out authoring. So Keith has been a long time, for your listeners, if you don't know this, Keith's been a long time member of the Prince George's Chamber. Most of his exploits and accolades have come through the education committee, where he had done some great work around building education for the young people in Prince George's County, and that's always a big opportunity, and Keith did a great job doing that. So this is a small way for me as a friend and a chamber colleague to help support Keith as he rolls out his new book. And I want the committee to know about it because, he's a sport, is obviously a basketball coach, and I think there's
football.
Some synergy to it. And he's a
football.
What'd I
football.
Say, basketball? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know how that leaked into. We'll edit that out later. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, well, hey, I can think wishfully, can't I? I want an opportunity to add you to my list of coaches I've teed up. But
I got you. I know. No, I'm excited about the opportunity on the 20th. I'm looking forward to it. You got the committee rocking and rolling. I would assume you're right in mid-season right now. Are you refereeing this weekend?
I am not actually, only because I've had a lot going on personally, so I'm gearing up for a new opportunity that I start next week. But thanks very much. But I have some games coming down the pike, so I'm looking forward to getting back on the floor because when I'm not working games, believe it or not, referees are like the players and coaches. We feel like we're just missing out on stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting back on the floor very, very soon and, seeing some of the best local basketball we have here along with, integrating my college schedule as well.
Craig, we got about 2 minutes. I did want you to weigh in on the whole Grayson Allen thing, if you would. I talked about it in our Pay Attention Topic segment. I had Coach DeLon Parrish on earlier, football coach, and he talked about it as well. Well, what say you on that whole Grayson Allen? I think Krzyzewski blew it right there.
Well, I agree that I don't think the punishment was, stiff enough. And I've seen two of those unsportsmanlike plays. Frankly, if I was an official, and it's easy for me to say because, number one, I'm not roughing the Duke games. But the bottom line is he needs to be ejected. That, one may be an aberration, but this is three times now. And, honestly, just to delve into the mentality of an official, we know who the players are who can be knuckleheads from time to time, and we don't need them messing up our game, frankly, because we just want to get out. We just want to be out of the way and let the players decide the game. And it's stuff like that just brings more attention to the game. And I just thought he should have been thrown out of the game. And the penalty should have been much more stiff, frankly. So I am a little disappointed. I do hope, though, that he gets the message because, I think people are watching much more closely now. Because, if he plans on going to the next level, people are going to be thinking about that stuff. And I think we've seen it in other sports where if you, you know, don't seem to be the best, you know, citizen, that's going to hurt your capability to, you know, earn the livelihood you'd like to earn.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, Coach K's job, unfortunately, is to win basketball games, how to win in life. And so there are some, you know, on ESPN and other places saying, you know, hey, well, you know, I mean, you've got to win. I mean, they lost the one game that he sat out. They brought him back. They won by 35. So,
you know
it is
yeah,
what it when, is, but it makes it tough. Well, it makes it tough on officials. You know,
yeah, when,
it makes
when,
it, I mean, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, when you're right, coaches are in the business of winning, and they do want to put the best team out there. So, you know, it is a little bit of, you know, a dichotomous relationship, I guess. So, you know, you almost need the university or the conference to kind of step in and help with that. But, you know, frankly, though, the coaches are usually have to be the first line of defense.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. Hey, Super Ref Craig Muckle, I like this little top 10 roundup segment. I like that. I may have to see if I can get you a little more frequently. I like that.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have talked through those. And you, it's your game. You love it. And I'll, of course, am now getting prepared for the Super Bowl and then the combine and the draft. But, you know, you got to mix that basketball.
I hear you.
And, of course, we did a great job last year mixing in all the other sports. So. Hey,
sure.
Craig, hey, thanks as always for coming out. Friend of the show.
Anytime.
Looking forward to seeing you on January 20th at the Sheet Committee.
Absolutely, and go Steelers.
Okay, we'll edit that one out as well. Have a good one, Craig.
All right, you too, man. Take care.
Super Ref Craig Muckle. I knew he was a big Steeler fan, and I am not. Let's just put it that way. So, hey, listen, it is time for our two-minute warning. For those new listeners, our two-minute warning segment is just an opportunity for me to just send a message of inspiration to the audience based on what we've just heard just in the last couple of minutes on the show here. And so I always do it off the cuff. I never script it. And so today's two-minute one is rather simple. I don't know if you remember when Coach Parrish was on and he said, you know, when he got hit in the head, he said, quote, "My father took me to McDonald's." And I think it's just so important. It's always a reminder. You got to have that dad. And if you don't have your dad in your life, you know, God can father you. And so it's, you know, for me, it's my life's work. If we could get rid of, you know, our fathers, you know, being deadbeat, being divorced, being whatever it is, incarcerated, whatever, the world would be a better place. So have that relationship with your father. I'm glad Coach Parrish said that. That's our two-minute warning for today. Also, we're going to, in 2017, because we've got a little more time, we're also going to be throwing out some predictions, and then we will be tracking those predictions throughout the year to see how well we do. So, first one, I got in college basketball, I got Georgetown upsetting number 18 Butler today. It's a noon game. I believe it's televised. I'm going to be all over it. I got Georgetown upsetting Butler today. I've been down on Georgetown, down on the coach all year. I think today they turn a corner and they upset a top 20 team in the Butler Bulldogs. We'll see. I've got in the NFL, wild card weekend, I got, believe it or not, I got the Houston Texans over the Raiders. That's right. I think the Raiders lose this game today. I think they're a one and done. I think losing Derek Carr a few weeks ago to a broken leg, and then Matt McGloin, you know, I guess he dislocated his shoulder or something last week. They're going with a third string guy, Connor Cook, Michigan State, fourth round draft pick. He's never played in an NFL game, let alone the playoffs. Going up against Romeo Crennel, who's probably the best defensive coordinator out there. I think Houston, Stingy defense, decent run game. They're going to go back to Brock Osweiler at quarterback. I think the Texans win this game, and I think the Raiders are one and done. And then my last prediction, it's probably the easiest one because I've done it the entire college football season. Roll Tide. Alabama, they will beat Clemson like a drum Monday night. This Alabama team, I've said it once, I've said it 18 times. It's like an NFL team. It's a machine. They swapped out offensive coordinators just a week ago. It won't faze them one bit. This freshman quarterback they're going to roll out there will no longer be a freshman. He will run all over the place. Roll Tide. They win back-to-back, just like Wise High School. They will win back-to-back national champions, and Nick Saban will win his sixth national championship, which ties him for the Great Bear Bryant. That's a pretty, pretty remarkable feat. So, wow. So we've come to the close of our first one-hour show. It's been a great show. I'm looking forward to some exciting things for the Extra Points radio show in 2017. I do know that I'm going to be out at Radio 1, so please reach me on Facebook or take a look. I'll be announcing dates for being on Radio 1. I'm excited about that. It broadens our listener base. We will be looking for sponsorships for the show in 2017. So as the show grows, we're looking for, if there's a team out there that wants to support us, if there's a business, local business out there that wants to support us, great. I know that there's some fitness gyms out in the area who are looking for to get their word out and looking for some marketing. So the Extra Points Radio Show would be a great place to do it. Let's see. Let's make our final point for this show. The final point, of course, we always want to give our website. Please visit us at www.extrapointllc.com. That's www.extrapointllc.com to find out information on what we do at Extra Points. If you want to reach us on Twitter, we're on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. Please reach us there. We are always looking for new Twitter followers to grow our fandom. If you're looking for a speaker, this is what I do. Would love to come out to your organization or company and inspire and engage your teams. So if you're interested in that, you can book me at www.extrapointsllc.com. And speaking of book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story is out there. You can purchase it at extrapointsllc.com. We are also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's cheaper on extrapointsllc.com, so please buy it there. And it's exciting. I mean, the book is doing very, very well, very well received. And hey, if you want me to come out, speak to your group, and bring some books and sign them, I'd be glad to do that as well. So we got a lot going on, and everything is good. And so we just want to end our first show by saying that we're going to do another show next Saturday right here at 10 a.m. On Blog Talk Radio. You can find us here. And so we look forward to seeing you all and listening, hearing you all next week. So without further ado, as always, the Extra Point, it is up and it is good.
Has the extra